Well, good morning again, everyone. Hope that you had a good week. It is good to see you guys all here this morning as we come to celebrate and lift our praises to the King, second Sunday of Advent. Now, there has been a lot going on this past week, especially within our body, for sure, within our surrounding community. Phil mentioned Avoca, but we also had the loss of a freshman in Underwood. So you have a lot of things that are going on within, small rural communities. You got the hustle and bustle with the holidays, deadlines for the end of the year stuff. Things are starting to ramp up, maybe doing some extra Christmas shopping or starting Christmas shopping, or yeah, there's Christmas that's going to be happening in a couple weeks. Maybe I should do some shopping. Or, gatherings or travels and things like that, where we're just kind of cramming. And it gets to that part of your life where it just can be anxious. It can create some anxiety in your life. So I pray that as we come this morning that we can come with open hearts and we can come seeking and finding that inner peace that comes from the Father. Not the inner peace that's repeated by Master Shifu and the Kung Fu Panda, but the inner peace that surpasses all understanding. That comes from the Father, that transcends the external distractions around us, that transcends the internal turmoil in our own hearts and minds, where we can focus on Christ this season. When we're focusing on the birth of our Savior through this season, it helps kind of realign the priorities, especially as we, have a lot of outside distractions coming on. Especially as we go through the chaos of life at times, or the grief that we can experience, again, in order to center ourselves on Christ and the peace that He gives us, so we can then pass on that peace to others. So as we come together for this second Sunday, we're going to go to Luke chapter 2. Again, we're going to have kind of more of a walkthrough of different scriptures today based on the theme of peace. But hopefully tying that to the birth narrative as we go through this morning. Hoping that this verse gives us a good overall feel. So, simply just going to read in chapter 2 of Luke, verse 14. And this is the heavenly host praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." Now, to kind of give us an overall feel from this verse, I want to read from some other translations as well. From the New Living Translation, it says, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." The King James Version says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The NIV says, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." And the CSB says, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people He favors." Would you pray with me? Father, as we go to Your word today, Lord, as we worship You for the word that You have given us, I just pray that our praises can focus on You, that they can magnify You. And as we dive deeper into some of these topics, that we can dive deeper into who You are, understanding the light that we are in Christ Jesus. So we thank You for just this simple verse today. May You be honored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I kind of wanted to, give a feel of this verse by reading some of the other translations as well. And there's a couple things I want to point out. First thing I want us to see is just kind of the awesomeness of what's going on here. Looking at, the context of it, understanding that it's the heavenly host that is worshiping God. These angelic beings, they're all praising God. And it starts off with glory to God in the highest. Now, some of the translations add heaven after highest. It's kind of, basically, it's an added word that would just delineate the supreme, the best, okay? Because that's what's highest is written there. But showing that He rules over everything And the intent there is the same. And then we see, or maybe you heard, how it's either translated on earth peace or peace on earth. And of course, this is directed to those with whom his favor rests, with whom he is pleased, towards men or who he favors. You know, some of that verse has been debated over the years, but, you know, as we're continuing from this teaching that we had last week and the questions that were asked about your salvation, questions that were asked about your faith and the importance of being in Christ, as we're kind of building off of that into this week, I would want to know or ask the question, it would be, is, would you be one of those in whom God's favor rests? Or in one that he has pleasure with this morning? If so, I think that you can understand peace in the general sense, the peace that Jesus brings that's announced here by the angels. You know, even in the generalist form of peace, there are different facets that we can understand that we're going to go through today to help us break that down. Because peace isn't just a lack of fighting. Peace isn't just a lack of war. There's so much more to the depth of this term. And Jesus brought peace in unexpected ways, as we talked about last week a little bit, in terms of what the Israelites were looking for in the Messiah. They wanted the Christ, the Messiah, to come to get rid of the oppressive rule of the Romans and to bring about peace through power, or peace perhaps maybe in a little bit more violent ways. And I think that that type of view is very similar to foreign diplomacy today. You know, peace through strength. You know, that's it's a sticking point for Donald Trump in terms of the threat of war will instill peace. But again, a lack of war or lack of fighting, that could be our general understanding of peace, but I think it misses out on the biblical sense because the biblical sense takes it a step deeper for sure. So let's start by looking back up into chapter 1, verse 79. In chapter 1, verse 79, this is Zechariah speaking, and he says, "To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So I wanted to read this because I wanted to connect it to what we talked about last week. Now, looking at this context, we understand that Zechariah is speaking about John the Baptist. And there's a connection in terms of guiding our feet into the way of peace. I think that's an interesting way to phrase that. You know, because Jesus says in the Gospel of John that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And when we look at how John is going to be guiding people, you know, we walked last week through the Gospel of John a little bit to look at how Jesus is the light of the world. Go ahead and turn back to John, but we're going to go to chapter 1 this time. Chapter 1, I'm going to begin in verse 6 and read through verse 13. John writes, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So in this section, we explicitly see how John, the author of this gospel, different than John the Baptist, tells us that John the Baptist was not the light. He simply guided the people to the light. So when you look at Luke 1:79, we see that he is guiding our feet into the way of peace. And that peace, primarily and ultimately, is peace with God. That is the first way that we need to understand this term when it comes to our lives as Christians. Because sin in our own lives, sin within the world, has created a hostility between God and man, where there is a curse that is placed on the earth, and the earth cries out, it is groaning to be set free. Sin is such an affront to God that there is this absence of peace within its presence. So when we think about this in our own life and we check our hearts this morning, I just want you to simply answer the question, how is your peace today? I think it's a good marker of where we're at in our walks. You know, do we feel anxious, fearful? Do we feel anger welling up? Or do we feel peace? Now, depending on what area of life you're examining, there's probably a mixture. There could be peace in one area of your life where there's kind of turmoil over here on the other hand, right? There could be walls, there could be barriers that are placed up in our life that aren't touched, that we don't talk about those things because of what it might bring up. There might be numbness in our life to get through different types of pain. But I want us to face this. I want us to step into those types of questions today. Where is your heart and your mind? Is it at peace? Because if it's not, then I would suggest that there's probably an issue of sin that is affecting you. Jesus came to deal with the problem of sin once and for all. He offers forgiveness of your sins based on the payment that's made on the cross by his blood. So if you've received his peace before, you would need to understand how the gospel and what he's done to bring peace. Sorry, if you have not received his peace before, you'd have to understand the gospel message and what he has done to bring peace into your life. If you are a believer and you're struggling to find peace in your life, you know, I'm not saying that you're not saved. I'm just saying there's probably sin that you're struggling with in your life and that we need to go to him to seek that forgiveness, to be reconciled, to repent. Where maybe there's areas in our life where we're not walking in the light. We're not walking in the truth. So we might not be experiencing the peace of God to the richest and the fullest extent. You know, when we understand salvation, we have to understand, you know, God doesn't save us to keep us in a miserable state. He doesn't save us to keep us in a state of despair. We actually get to experience his peace in our hearts and minds. And it's a joy as we live our life each day, knowing that we have peace with God. As a believer, we don't have to fear things like death. Now, we can. We can choose to. We can choose to be anxious. We can choose to worry about every little thing in our life. And our peace, our joy gets robbed by the enemy instead of walking in the light. When we choose not to walk in the light, just know that there's going to be consequences to that, that you're going to feel in this life. But through what he has done, he has brought us peace, right? Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by his wounds we are healed. We simply have peace with God because of what Jesus did on the cross. He died on the cross to pay for our sins, to pay for that which separated us from God, that created that hostility between God. And once we understand that initial peace, we get to dive deeper into that because there's other ways that we get to experience that peace lived out in our life. And the first thing to mention is that inner peace. You know, through the work on the cross, we're invited to come to the Father, and then we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and he guards our salvation. John chapter 14, verse 27. Says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You know, through salvation, we have a peace that surpasses our own understanding. As we're walking in the light, we get to experience that peace even in the hardest of times. Again, we don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be anxious. We can experience that peace. And that is God giving us a mind of God that will come, that will heal the broken world with his return that will heal and renew our minds, as Romans 12 tells us, to where we don't have to, it's that process of throwing off the old self and putting on the new, to where we get to spend time in his word and his truth, and that's a comfort to us. It brings peace. It's a light unto our path as we're reading the word. So he is with us, giving us peace through his spirit. He is with us, giving us peace through the reading of his word. Another experience that we have is that we can have peace with others. We're able to put aside differences. We're able to seek forgiveness. We're able to seek reconciliation, especially with other believers, where we're walking out and living the words that are found in Scripture, being guided by the Holy Spirit deeper into the light. Where we can pray for one another. We can solve misunderstandings that can happen. And as we live that out, instead of things like anger, we have patience. Instead of idolatry, you have self-control. Instead of rivalries and dissension, you have kindness and gentleness. Instead of division, you have faithfulness. To where you begin to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit in your life. And that helps you to have peace with others because of what God has done in you. You then learn to be content in your faith. Not being a pushover, not being bullied into different things, not being taken advantage of in order to maintain peace. Like, we don't talk about this because it'll upset this person in the room. But rather, you're doing your part to, so much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all, as Romans 12 says. And then Romans 14, Paul writes this, "So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding." See, the peace that we have from others, again, is rooted in the peace that comes from God. Yes, peace can be without fighting at the same time, but as we're rooting out and dealing with that selfishness, with that pride in our own hearts, we're throwing off the old self and we're replacing that with Christ, and we're seeing people and others with the eyes of Christ. You know, peace in the Hebrew sense, that term is shalom. And again, it's much more than just not fighting. Because peace is how things were originally meant to be. It was a state of being in terms of how that word is used. And the peace of God allows us to look at others through the eyes of Christ, helping guide the world to see God here and the kingdom to come. His peace is all around us in creation, even though it has fallen. But the peace of when he will reign in the new heaven and the new earth, the one that is coming, is something to be desired. It is something to be anticipated. It is something to be expected. It should frequently be in our hearts and minds, again, guiding us to this deeper understanding of peace and how that comes from God. There really is a lot within this term. Go ahead and flip over to Philippians chapter 4. It's always good to have alliteration in your messages. In Philippians chapter 4, we see how peace is also a protection against the enemy. Chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, I quoted that part of the verse before in terms of the peace of God surpassing all understanding. But I think it's the rest of that section that's a lot deeper. And you ask the question, okay, what is it guarding against? You know, if not the enemy. And then he continues, as he continues in verse 8. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What have you learned and received and heard and seen in me? Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." So in verse 7, the peace of God will keep you. And then it closes with how the God of peace will be with you. You know, as we're thinking about these things, as we're walking in the light, as we're keeping our minds on whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is honorable, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's excellence in that, that is how we are to be walking. You know, staying away from the wide road, but staying on that narrow path. Understanding that peace comes with that. So again, I simply ask, how is your peace? Is it manageable? Right? Are we trying to control the chaos? Or are we resting firmly in obedience to know the protection that his peace brings? Peace also brings joy. Proverbs 12:20 says, "Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan peace have joy." Now, I think a lot of things are intertwined and integrated within Scripture. So I'm not saying that one brings the other, or that there's a spectrum of any sorts of things, like we like to think things in a linear way like that. I think that there's just joy and peace when you're thinking of being in Christ. But when we see how connected it is, you know, when we see a fullness of being in God, we see a lavishness of being in God that I think that we underestimate because of our finite minds, because we only handle a little bit, certain amounts of what's actually happening in our life. The impact that Christ has as we're walking in him, as we're in the light. You know, I think that another thing that we have to understand with peace is that it is truly a blessing from God. David writes this in Psalm 29:11. He says, "May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace." And again, I think that this makes sense when we're understanding that it is through the announcement of Christ at this and his birth that peace comes from Christ. Peace comes from God. It is Jesus who brings peace with God through his death and his resurrection. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And really, that's kind of what I'm going to focus on for the remainder of our time today. As we understand peace, I want us to go to the Word, and I want it to wash over us and let it speak for itself. So for this first one, I'm just going to read it. I want you to listen. And then I'll tell you the reference after. And then I've got two other passages, too, that we'll kind of read over. But I want the Word to impact you today. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all of Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." That was a preaching of Peter found in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. And he mentions how the gospel message is about preaching the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. Again, understanding in the gospel message that peace comes from Christ. The word, the whole Bible is full of this type of a message. If we actually took time and read it through that lens, we would see it all over the place. How about Ephesians 2? Why don't you flip over there with me? Ephesians 2 is a chapter that often gets referred to when we talk about salvation. We like to focus on verses 8 and 9, and how it's a free gift of God through grace, or of grace through faith, not of works, so that no man may boast. But there's more in this chapter than just those two verses. Let's look at verses 11 through 22. And again, look for the understanding of peace. Look for the gospel message that's written within. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants and promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. He who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we have both access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple of the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. You know, sometimes I just sit with Scripture as I meditate on Scripture, and I find that it is truly amazing. You know, when I focus on all of what Jesus has done, when I focus on how Paul articulates a lot of his letters, or Peter articulates his message, or some of the other writers, I'm in awe. Even though, you know, I've got a degree, I've been trained, I can speak. But here are these fishermen. Here's this former Pharisee proclaiming about God, proclaiming deep things about God. And I sit in awe and wonder at me being a Gentile, a non-Israelite Jew, being brought into peace with God because of Jesus. It's such an amazing thing to dwell on. This is such an amazing thing to focus on each and every day of our life. When we think about the chaos of the world, when we think about the turmoil that we might face, the anxieties and the fears, how often do we just rest in the fact that we are His? When we think about, you know, if we have little kids that are scared, that are frightened, what do we do to calm them down? We reassure them. We tell them that it's going to be okay. We tell them the truth. We comfort them. God does the same thing with His Word. When we have fear, when we have anxiety, we turn to Christ because He gives us peace. And that peace can be found in His Word. But how often are we continuing just to run with the anxiety, with the worry, with the fear, with the world, not knowing where to turn to for comfort, not knowing where to turn to for help? Well, pastor says, we've got to read the Bible every day. I guess I got to do it. We get to do it. It is such a privilege. We get to turn to the one who brought us peace in our times of fear, in our times of anxiety, and we get to rest in that fact. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. One last passage for us today. Sorry, I said three. I meant one. I don't know why I was thinking three. Chapter 1, verse 15. This is speaking about your Savior. This is speaking about your Lord. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were made in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. And you who are once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. What Paul describes here about who Christ is, I think, is what the angels are declaring when they say peace on earth. I believe this is the type of peace that they're talking about. The peace with God that comes from the work of Christ. And the effects of that peace, the impact, the influence towards his followers to then experience that peace inwardly and outwardly in our life is only brought about because we are forgiven and reconciled. We then share that same peace with others as we share the gospel message, because the gospel message is one of peace. It is a peace that comes from Christ that surpasses what we might think, that what we might know, that we might understand, to where we are just left in awe and wonder at who he is, his majesty, his holiness, his justice, his mercy. Where each and every day, not just during the Advent season, but each and every day, we should echo what the angels are praying and praising as they proclaim glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Let's pray. Father, as we continue to study your truth and your word, I pray that you would continue to be working in our own hearts and minds. Lord, that you would help us to not stray from the gospel that has been proclaimed and taught. Lord, that you would help us to stay firm in our resolve, in our faith, to understand that reconciliation comes only from Christ. Lord, that when we fear, when we have anxiety, when we have worries, when there's selfishness, when there's pride, Lord, that we can turn to you because you are our hope. Lord, you have brought us peace because of the sin being placed on you. You went to the cross and died in our place, shedding your blood, the blood of the new covenant. Lord, and it is that which we are covered. It is your righteousness that says that we are now above reproach. Lord, I pray that through this season, whatever chaos comes our way, whatever deadlines are approaching for the end of the year, Lord, everything will fade away except your word. That will remain. So I pray that as we look at the different priorities that we have in our life, that we can root out the different things of selfishness and pride, of idolatry, of dissension, of hostility, and that we can rest solely in the understanding of your peace that surpasses all of our understandings in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.